Good morning to you all. How are you? Good? Oh, great. I'm good too. Thanks for asking. My name's Jess. I'm one of the pastors here. If we haven't met before, I would love to just extend my welcome to you to church this morning as well. And it's just been a great morning of us worshiping together and getting to gather around the Word, which is what we're about to do right now. And we're going to be talking about our Becoming series today. Continuing this on, this is going to be going for another couple of weeks. And if we are to be followers of Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but you've walked into a church today where we believe in Jesus. And if we are to be, yes, you know I like it when you say things back to me, okay? Yeah, thank you, Connie. If we are truly to be followers of Jesus, we need to understand that we are a work in progress. We are not perfect. We are becoming, and we've talked about this many times over the last month or so. We are and we always will be becoming more like Jesus. This is the goal of our life, emulating Jesus, becoming, looking like him. And today we're going to add in another crucial piece of the puzzle. You know, as we've been going through this series and opening up the scriptures and praying about what does this mean to become like Jesus, I've realized just how big of a topic this is. And it is so nuanced and there is so much to it. I feel that we could pretty much talk about this for the rest of our lives. And you know what? We have this beautiful thing here, this Bible, that is basically just a manual on how to be like Jesus, on how to live life for him. And this is what we're about here at Inglewood Church. And in fact, this Bible is one of the main ways that Jesus makes us more like him. So we're going to be opening this up in just a moment. And today I want to outline one of what I believe is one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle in this Christian life of becoming more like Jesus. And here is what it is. Here's what I want you to take home. If you're taking notes, it's time to get them out. This is the thing. We are the light of the world. If you believe in Jesus in this room today, you are the light of the world. Jesus tells us that, but this light that we carry as believers is not our own, but we are carriers of the light. Yeah? This light that we carry is not our own, but we're carriers of the light of Jesus. Recently, we went through the Jesus the Game Changer series, and we did all of the messages on a Sunday morning, and our connect groups all gathered around it. It was amazing. Shameless connect group plug. If you are not part of a connect group, please get to be part of one. It's just an amazing way to make friends at church, to gather around the Bible, to pray for each other, to keep each other accountable. And we did it in my connect group, and we actually have decided that we're going to continue on with the Jesus the Game Changer series because there's about 11 weeks of it, and it's really good. And one of the questions in Jesus the Game Changer really stood out to me. And I was fascinated by some of the answers that were coming out as our connect group met. And don't worry, if you're in my connect group, you are safe. Although I do tell them that they need to be careful what they say, because anything they say can and will be used against you in a sermon by Jessica McGowan. Just kidding. It's a safe place. It's wonderful. And one of the questions was about how is Christianity represented? How is Christianity represented? And we talked about how do we react when we hear a story about what Jesus has done in somebody's life. And it struck me that as we were talking, this is a group of people who have largely been Christians for at least the majority of our adult life, that we all had kind of different reactions to this. And that's not a bad thing at all. It was just an amazing discussion that we had. We all had different experiences of what goes on inside of us, in our hearts and in our minds, when we hear a story of what Jesus has done in someone's life. And there were questions that came up. Questions like, does this make me excited? Does this draw me closer to Jesus, this story? Am I perhaps a little bit skeptical? Do I wonder if it's true? Do I know that this is true? And we decided that how well we knew the person who was telling us had a lot to do with how we felt about it in the end, right? And this got me thinking about an assignment that I've done recently. I'm studying at the moment, and it was about people sharing their faith in Australia. about them sharing their faith. And I don't know whether you've heard about McCrindle Research, but they're a research firm that's dedicated to like political and social, all kinds of different research about specifically Australia and what happens in Australia. And they did this study on faith and belief in Australia, and it was fascinating. You can look them up if you would like. That's what it's called, Faith and Belief in Australia. And in particular, one of the questions they asked is, what are the biggest blockers to people wanting to explore spirituality and religion? Do you want to know what they are? See, I find this very interesting. The first one, the first biggest roadblock was this. It's hearing from public figures and celebrities who are representatives of that faith. Fascinating. The second highest one of this, the second highest blocker, the second highest deterrent to people investigating faith in Australia is hearing about miraculous stories of people being healed and supernatural occurrences. Interesting. I wonder if any of these surprise you. I know in our Connect group, as we talked about this, we were surprised. We thought, wow, how could a story about someone being miraculously healed be something that turns people off from religion, right? Really interesting. And I think it's fascinating because no matter what your personal reaction is to these sorts of topics, you actually can't argue with the data here. This is Australia. These are the people who live around us. And so this poses a very interesting dilemma for us, I think. If in fact we believe in Jesus, perhaps you're sitting here today and you're not really sure what you think about Jesus. That's okay, you've come to the right place, first of all, to find some answers. But, and maybe you even resonate with these things. These are just the top two. There was a bunch of others. I encourage you, if you're interested, to read it. It's very fascinating. But this poses a very interesting dilemma for us. And because what does this tell us about Australians? Well, if I'm generalizing, I think that Australians are a really skeptical people. We're extremely skeptical. And in fact, if we're told what to do, perhaps this is even just human nature, if you feel like you're being told what to do, in fact, you'll just go and do the opposite thing simply because someone told you to do that thing, right? And perhaps that's more than just Australians, but I think I definitely see this, and I don't know if you do, but I definitely see this in my life as I go about my life. There are skeptical people, and we do not like to be told stories of people being healed, and we do not like that. That actually turns people off. This is really, really interesting, because if we are, as I said, if we are the light of the world, how do we then be the light of the world in Australia? How do we then be the light of the world? So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5 today. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me there, but do not worry, it's going to be on the screen as well for you to follow along. And Jesus here, this is Jesus talking. See, I thought the best way for us to tackle this becoming like Jesus thing is to look at what Jesus said. Right? So this is Jesus talking to his disciples. There's a crowd around him as well, but it says actually that he starts to address his disciples. As we talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus can't go anywhere without a crowd forming. How crazy. But he starts addressing his disciples, who, and this is important, are already his followers, people who believe in him. And he says this, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." And he goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket." That's a reference to the lamps, the old oil lamps that they would have. They would light it with the oil, and then it would be just this ridiculous thing to put a basket on top because it would catch on fire, for one thing. Instead, he says, "A lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Jesus says, we are the light of the world. If you believe in Jesus today, you are the light of the world. And here it is. This light, though, is not our own. It's the light of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit in us when we become followers of him. This light is because of Jesus' saving grace in our lives. And that's important. That this light that we carry is not our own, but this is the thing, that we are carriers of the light. As people who believe in him, we are carriers of the light of Jesus. And if becoming more like Jesus means emulating him, means reflecting and mirroring him and being like him, then by extension, we are carriers of him. And so what does this mean? What does this mean on our journey of becoming? Because we are becoming, in everyone's favorite word this year, unprecedented times. This has been the strangest year that I have ever lived. And McCrindle actually has done a bunch of research on COVID and the effects of it long-term in Australia. And they said this, much of what we had pre-COVID we'll never see again. I think that might scare some of us in the room here. We'll never see it again. We're not moving to the next, but to the new. We're moving to the new. And this means, though, for us in this call to be the light of the world, that we have an opportunity like never before. We have an opportunity like never before. And if we are asking questions about our lives, about what is new, what is coming next, then how much more are the people around us also asking those questions? What is new? They're trying to figure out what is life, because there is nothing like a life-shaking pandemic to make you ask questions about your life and to teach you about your priorities, right? And as much as we've been incredibly lucky here in Perth, as we've said a few times this morning already, I don't think we all the people around us are immune from the fear of what could happen in our worlds, in our immediate world. So we have an opportunity as people who carry the light of Jesus like we have never had before. And so how do we be carriers of this light? How does this happen in our lives? I think the first thing is this. The biggest thing, well, the first thing. What does this mean? It means that what I do, what I say, how I behave, it matters. It matters a great deal. This verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. When I have a conversation with someone about what it is that I do, and they ask me, what do you do, Jess? What do you do in life? I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church. And they ask, like, is that like a priest? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Sure, it's like a minister, like a priest, something like that. But it is, and, you know, it's very important, actually, how I engage in that moment, because I'm literally just saying, I believe in Jesus enough that I dedicated my life to be a pastor of a church. And that means that they know that I'm a Christian, straight away. They know that I believe in Jesus, enough at least to tell other people about it. And so not only what I say in that moment, but the way that I say it, the fact that I don't shy away from the fact that I'm a pastor or anything like that is so important, because what I say, it matters. And how I say it matters. And I'm bringing Jesus to the world in that conversation. And then now, every time I see them, they're looking very closely at me. And what am I doing? And how am I saying it? How do I react? In fact, I've frequently have in-depth conversations with my dentist about theology. It's very interesting. He's like, what does your church believe about this? And what about this? And then I'm like, ah, ha, 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 I can't speak to you. Sure. Because, you know, this is the same for all of us. This is just my story. But this is the same for all of us, because no matter what you do matters. What you say matters. Whether people know that you're a Christian or not, actually. What you say because you believe in Jesus and how you behave matters. Because people are watching you. Perhaps actually now more than ever before. They want to know, is COVID breaking us as well? Or are we holding tight to Jesus? They want to know this. They want to know, how is my life different in this pandemic to this? Right? And Jesus often talks in metaphors. And I'm sure if you've been around church for a while, you would have heard this salt metaphor so many times. But it's so important because salt is powerful. A little bit of salt can make a big difference. I don't know if you've ever baked and confused sugar with salt. I mean, it's just not worth eating. That thing's gonna go in the bin. Like, it makes a massive difference in how much when you're cooking something. Pastor Mark's not the only one who loves cooking. I love cooking too. How often is the answer, if it's not quite going right, just salt? So simple, but so powerful. So powerful. It changes the taste of our food so dramatically. And it's the same with our lives. Us being the salt of the earth means that what I do, how I do it, how I behave matters. It matters so much. And it also says, what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. See, this is the thing. While we are being the light of the world, we are still also becoming. While we are becoming, we are also the light of the world. So I think that this approach to being the light of the world and becoming and everything just requires a really good dose of humility, of being able to say sorry when we get it wrong, because we will, and being humble enough to admit our failures, because we will. Because us becoming more like Jesus doesn't mean that we get it right every time. It just means that while we are becoming, we're also bringing Jesus to the world. We're also bringing him to the world. And if we can go back to that research from McCrindle, I think that so often people think that Christians have it all together. Okay. But in the way that we say these things, I think it can come across as, it can, if I'm sharing what Jesus has done in my life, it could come across as, well, here's what Jesus has done for me, and this is why I'm superior because of it. But that's actually not the case. You and I know. All right, let's be real. You and I know that we are not perfect. We do not have it all together. But we need to have the humility to show others that we don't have it all together. Because becoming and sharing Jesus all at the same time requires an enormous dose of humility. And it's not an us and them thing. Like, people think that I have it all together, but I know that I don't, so it's okay. No, we actually have to be able to show that to the people around us, that yes, perhaps COVID is difficult and this is why it's been difficult in my life, but this is also why I have hope because of Jesus. And I think Paul really understood this really well. Paul in the Bible, Philippians 3 verse 12, he says this, not that I have already obtained all this, so not that I've reached perfection or that I have already arrived at my goal, he says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He knew that he was not perfect and he was operating out of a space of becoming. And he said, but I press on anyway. I keep going anyway. He understood the need for humility and for continuing on even when he didn't get it right. And we know that Paul did not always get it right. We know that. Rick Warren says that Christ-likeness is the result of making Christ-like choices and then depending on the Holy Spirit to help you fulfill those choices. So it's actually not about us. It's about us depending on Jesus. It's not anything that we've done, and we know that, but we need to be able to show other people that because it's what Christ has done in us as we take his light into the world. And so, how do we be light carriers? How do we carry his light into the world? Well, we do it with humility. We understand that what we do, what we say, how we behave matters. But we need to give all the glory to God. And then we give all the glory to God. It says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, God made us carriers of the light of Jesus. God is the only one. He's the one who made us carriers of the light. And it's for his glory. This verse says, so that, this is the purpose, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father for his glory and not for our own. A couple of weeks ago, I shared this quote from Bob Goff. Our problem following Jesus is we're trying to be a better version of us rather than a more accurate reflection of him. And I really want to double down on that, because this Christian life isn't about us being better versions of ourselves so that we can say superior, so that we can say that we're superior to other people or anything like that. But it's actually about giving the glory to God and understanding that we need to give the glory to God when things go right. This life that we have chosen or been invited into, and this life that you are actually invited into today, is about us reflecting Jesus for the glory of God. And that way all the glory goes to God. This verse in Matthew highlights that just wonderfully, that we are the light of the world, and that light is supposed to go out into the world. It's not supposed to be covered. It's not supposed to be hidden. It's supposed to be bright and loud and obvious, so that everyone can see for the glory of God and so that people might know him. And here's Jesus using a metaphor again about light. We know that light is the absence of darkness. Light is, it symbolizes purity as opposed to filth, truth as opposed to error, knowledge as opposed to ignorance, etc., etc. Yet God still chooses to use us. We don't always get it right, and we stuff up, and we need to have the humility to say, I got that wrong, but I'm trying to be more like Jesus. I think when we have the humility to do that, I think that is the greatest witness to people. When we have the humility to say, look, that was a really bad choice on my part, but you know, I'm trying to be better, because this is what Jesus shows me. And here is my challenge out of all of this today, that we must carry the light boldly. We must carry the light boldly. It says that you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. This light was meant to be loud and meant to be obvious and meant to be taken into the world by the people who believe in Jesus. And you know what? It's not actually our light so that the Bible says, it's not my message so that I can boast. It's actually Jesus's, because we're taking that into the world. So we must carry the light boldly. So I want to ask you, what does that mean in your life for this week? We do a thing in the staff on a Tuesday. We'll do a devotion and then we'll pick one thing. Because you know how change happens, it's one thing at a time. We'll pick one thing and we'll say, this is what I'm going to do today. This is what I'm going to do this week. And I'm going to come back and report on it later. Because change happens one thing at a time. So what, for all of us sitting in this room today, if you believe in Jesus, how can you, in one way, this week, bring the light of Jesus to your world? It might be in a conversation at the lunch table at work, saying, what are your plans for the weekend? I'm going to church. It's as simple as that. Perhaps you might need some courage to not shy away from those conversations where you can say, well, actually, I believe in this, and this is why. You know, this is something that I think about often, and I think about, well, how important is my response in that moment? And I think probably it's that my response is kind of less important than that I respond. Than that I say, well, this is why, and I can fumble my way through it. But you know what? It's actually more about me not shying away from the fact that this is what I believe. And you can take it or leave it, but that's okay. So that is my challenge to you. How can you carry the light boldly into your workplace, into your school, into your university, whatever it is this week? Just one thing. How can you do one thing this week to carry the light of Jesus? And you will know what that is as we're sitting here. And I just want to pray for us right now. Why don't we just close our eyes? Father God, you know every heart in this room. You know and you have seen everything about us, God. And I pray for every person in this room who believes in Jesus and listening at home who believes in Jesus, God, that you will give us an opportunity this week to shine your light boldly, to be the bold people that you call us to be. Thank you, God, that you give us the light of Jesus. And it, we acknowledge in this moment, God, that it is not actually ours so that we can boast, but it's yours. And we carry it into the world. We choose to carry it into the world this week. And so I pray for each of us that you will give us an opportunity to be that light in our worlds this week. Keep our eyes open. Keep us watchful for what it is that you want us to do or say. Embolden us, Jesus. We bring to you our fears about such things. We bring to you ourselves, God. And we say, Lord, we thank you that we are the light of the world. And we thank you that you go with us. I pray that you go with us as we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I can just imagine the stories that are going to come next week when we talk to each other about what has happened. But I also kind of want to give us an opportunity this morning. And maybe you're sitting here listening to this light of the world business and you're kind of like, well, what does that even mean? Maybe you've actually been burnt by people who said that they were the light of the world, but then they didn't do such a good job of representing that light of Jesus. And so I want to pray for you, actually, that might be anyone in this room, that there would be some healing in your heart because of that. That you would be able to forgive that person who said that thing that made you not believe in Jesus for a minute. Or maybe even for you, it's that I want to know what this light is. I want this light in my life because, you know what, it's pretty great. It's pretty great to be able to say that you walk in the light because of what Jesus has done for you. So I want to take a moment to pray for those two things and just give you an opportunity to respond. I think this is a moment that could change your life forever. That could get you onto a path where you're living in the light instead of in darkness. So I'm going to pray for you now. Father, I pray for those of us who are carrying around hurt from what some people might have said to us. People who might have said that they were the light of the world and then behaved in a way that was hurtful to us. Or that made us turn away from you in some way. Father, I pray for healing for each person who that has happened to today. For the courage to forgive and to recognize, God, that you are the Savior of the world. It's not the person who is bringing it, who is bringing the light, but actually you are the Savior of the world, God. And so I pray for healing in our hearts from any hurt that we carry around in this moment, Jesus. And if that's you and you're thinking, I want to know and I want to see and be in the light of Jesus, I invite you in this moment to just take a breath. Just do one little simple thing with your body. Maybe put your hand out a little bit. Maybe respond in a little way. And I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for anyone who wants to accept you this morning, accept that you are the light and wants to know that light in their lives today. Father, that you will show that to them right now. Come into their lives and expel any darkness, God. Bring the light of you into their lives. And I pray that as they're asking these questions and wanting to go deeper with you, Father, that you will reveal yourself to them in a really meaningful way. Lord, we know, we trust that you are the light of the world, God, that you, we carry your light into the world. And so I pray for anyone who is accepting that this morning, that your light will just flood their lives right now. It will flood right through everything. That you will show them who you are and what it is to live in the light, and that it's amazing. Just forgive them, purify them, cleanse them, I pray in the name of Jesus. And we pray it all together. Amen.